You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
This time, I'm not even going to do my usual and just try to exhort you and tell you to shout. I'm not going to tell you to say hallelujah. Either you came with a hallelujah on the inside, because if you're waiting for a manufactured hallelujah, this isn't. This is the day that we came to celebrate. There's either a hallelujah on the inside or it's not. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And hallelujah is the highest praise when there is no word, when you don't know what to say. Do you know the angels just rejoice in heaven and they just bow down and they just exalt him? Do you know, it's interesting, because if there was jealousy in heaven, the angels would be jealous of us, because we have the opportunity of having the free will. They're obligated, responsible to praise him up there. They don't have a free will like we do. Angels don't have the free will. So they just do what they were built to do, and that is to worship. We have a free will. We can choose not to worship. So when you have the choice to do it, and that's why God loves his child, when his child has a choice to either not worship him or choose to, and when he knows that we operated our free will, and that's how he knows when it's genuine love, when we could choose to stay in our anger, choose to stay in our sadness, choose to stay in our frustration, or to say, Lord, listen, you make all things good. And because you do, this is good too. And I'm going to worship you by and by, through and through, good and bad, up and down, sideways, crooked, halfway straight. I'm going to worship you. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Jesus. That there's power in that name. There's power in that name. There's power in the name. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And we get to celebrate this day. Ooh, ooh, we get to celebrate this day. We are connected to this day. I said we're connected to this day. Breakthrough, you with me? Are you with me? Or are you too cute with your Easter outfit to get with me today? Amen. I know some of you real pretty, including the men. But can you worship him through your prettiness? Can you worship him through your handsomeness? Amen. Because in this church, we don't believe any outfit is bigger than God. There is nothing. If anything going to withhold us from our praise, we better take it off. If you know what I'm saying? If that suit jacket too tight, you better take it off. If the shoes too tight, you better take them off. Cuteness will never override our praise. Not in this church. If I can urbanize it, not up in here. There's breakthrough. It's on the wall. There's breakthrough. It's on the wall. It's embedded in the church. We didn't come to get cute. We came to get our breakthrough. And we're coming to celebrate the ultimate breakthrough. Hallelujah. You can be seated. But before you do, look at somebody that you don't recognize and wave at them and say, hey, welcome. Yes, yes, yes. And those that's watching us by stream, just look at the camera back there and just wave at everybody this, and then say, hey, amen, 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 amen. If you're not excited about this day, I'm going to need the ushers to check your pulse. Amen. Going to need the ushers just to do a pulse check. Now, yes, we do a temperature check, but that's COVID related. But we might need to do a pulse check to make sure that you are alive. Because I want you to know my Lord and Savior, He is. He is. He is alive. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. And I'm going to talk about our connection with that rise. Amen. First of all, I want to just say happy twofold. Number one, happy Easter. Two, happy Resurrection Sunday. Just so you know, we know it's not about the bunny. Amen. We understand as we have gotten into Christ that it's not about the bunny. Amen. But we are not, how can I say this? We're not blaspheming by saying happy Easter. For the religious, let me just talk to you for a minute. I know you might be shaken when you hear somebody say happy Easter. Yes, we know it's not about the bunny, but let the babies play with an egg for a minute. That egg isn't going to take away their salvation. You understand? Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm just going to say that it's different letting them play with an egg than going trick-or-treating. That's a whole nother thing. Check me out in October. Okay. Not going there. Check me out in October. It's a difference. Amen. Kids in their cute little pink outfits and chasing the bunny is different than going out there trick-or-treating where witches and warlocks are celebrating that day. Get with me in October. Leave me alone. Let me talk about the resurrected King. Amen. You know, this might be my 17th resurrection service sermon. And when you've done them as long as I have, you're like, Lord, what do you want me to say that I haven't said? And it's funny. He kind of checked me and said, who told you you had to be different? And I said, well, my flesh did, because you want to change it up and spice it up for the people. And he said, I am my own spice. So I'm going to let him sprinkle on what he needs to sprinkle on. And you just take the seasonings. If you like it mild or spicy, put your own seasoning on this. Amen. I'm going to entitle this the birth experience. The birth experience. I'm going to entitle this the birth experience. Before I do, Earl, can you stand up for a minute? Because you're just too pretty. I mean, that jacket right there is like from the 70s or something. I don't even think they make it anymore. I mean, that's superstar. Amen. You can be seated. You're just looking that fly in the front. I had to acknowledge you. Amen. Yeah, I just had to. Amen. He got the leg cross shoes on. I don't even recognize the man. Lord Jesus. Come on, man of breakthrough. So there's a lot that I would like to be able to say. This could be 2 hours long. It won't. There's so much that I want to be able to go into today, because you have that one day to really give the good synopsis and snapshot of the purpose of today. So what I really want to do is to talk about why this day is so important. I've talked so many times, check the archives, of every breakdown of this day over 17 years. We understand about the persecution. There were times that I went deep into the persecution. There were times I went deep into the mocking. There were many times I broke specifically talking about the tomb. Every area I've covered, every area of what took place. But what I want to talk about this time is slightly different. I want to talk about the birth experience and how the birth experience, we are connected with the birth experience. Now, I want you to understand, your birth, say my birth, and Christ's death are matched together, synced together forever. Our birth in His death are synced, matched together. And I need you to understand that. But I am not talking about our first birth. I'm talking about the second birth. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. I'm not talking about the natural birth. We all were born naturally, all of us, even C-section, back up off me. It's still natural. The point, what I'm saying is we all had a natural birth. We all came out once the same. Amen. I want to talk about our natural birth. The spiritual birth, the second birth. The second birth matches the second coming. Jesus. See, there's a, see, the second. I taught this months ago about that, how the younger, the second one is always more powerful and used by God than the first. We've already gone into that. Check the archives. But I need you to understand that your birth experience, not the first one, not that you came out, you didn't have a choice. And this is the thing. We talked about free will. You didn't have a choice with your first birth. You didn't pick your parents with your first birth. Amen. You didn't pick your family. You know what I'm saying? Leave it alone. Amen. Leave it alone. You know what I'm saying? Let's speak a little cold. You didn't choose your mother. You didn't choose your father. You didn't choose your area, your neighborhood. You were born into it. God knew that. But because he's such an awesome God, he says, I'm going to give you a second opportunity, a second coming. I'm going to allow you to exercise your free will to find out, do you really want the second birth? See, this is the thing. And parents, the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way they should go so that when they get older, they won't depart from what? It. What is it? The training that you gave them of the second opportunity, because when they came out, they didn't have a choice. It is our job to teach them the choice. It is our job to teach them the choice of Christ. It is our job to teach them the different lifestyle of living for Christ. It's always about the second one. The first one, listen, you didn't have there was no opinion in that. You didn't have a choice in that. I want to talk about the second. All of us, we complain about things. Why this, Lord? Why this? Why did I have to be born with those parents? God says, okay, you didn't have a choice to be born under those parents, but you did have a choice to change from what the parents did. Lord, why did I have to be born in this environment? Okay, God says, well, okay, you didn't have a choice to be born in that environment, but you definitely have a choice to change your environment. Lord, why am I around these people? God says, okay, you didn't have a choice. You are right. You are correct. So you have the free will to walk away from those people. I want to talk about the second. I want to talk about the opportunities. I want you to understand. This is something that we have to understand. We could stay in the past or we could embrace the now. Today, we're talking about the resurrected king, the birth experience, and how it is synced with you, the birth experience. Our birth and Christ's death are forever tied together with a purpose. They're forever tied together with a purpose. I want you to understand and I want you to hear me. They're tied together with a purpose. His death and your birth, they're tied together with a purpose. His death and your birth, not the first one, but the second one, is tied together for a purpose. And that purpose is for the redemption power of Christ to be made perfect. The redemption power of Christ to be made perfect. The redemption power of Christ to be made perfect in you. In you. In you. In you. Today, what I want to do is expose the lie of the flesh and the lie of the enemy, of you thinking that you don't have a choice. That is one of the biggest lies the enemy has ever told. If you don't have a choice, that means you don't have a free will. And if that is true, that means God is a liar. How many of us have said, I don't have a choice in the matter? Oh, I'm the only one. Okay. All right. How many of us say, I don't have a choice? Yeah, you do. You can choose to be obedient even when you don't like it. You can choose to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. You can say, Lord, I don't like the situation, but I choose you. I choose faith over everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to not ever forget about the power of the risen King. There was a time that we did not have breath flowing in our body. When he took his last breath, I need you to understand something. When Jesus took his last breath, we were able to breathe truly for the first time. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it literally started with us. When he said, "It is finished," it began in us. When he said, "It's finished," that means everything that was an obstacle in your life no longer had to be a stronghold in your life. I need you to understand something today. One of the biggest lies is we don't have a choice. Yes, we do. We have a choice how I'm going to think in this thing. How am I going to talk in this thing? How am I going to act in this thing? I need us to understand that we were duped by our flesh thinking that life is supposed to bring us flowers every day. Do I have a witness? We were duped in thinking that we were supposed to wake up and be happy. This is a sinful world we live in. Hallelujah. There are people that wake up in the morning thinking about how they can get over on us. There are people trying to figure out the ways of taking advantage of us. There are people waking up planning how to manipulate us. Who's us? I'm talking to the believers today. Amen. As we are saved, born again. Hallelujah. Trouble will happen in this world. Trouble happened while our Savior was walking on the earth. There was crime. Oh, I don't think you read your Bible. Guess what? Breaking news. We're going to get that recorded. So I can have my breaking news music. Breaking news. There was crime when Jesus walked the earth. There was gambling taking place in days and times where it shouldn't have. You have to understand, there was witchcraft while Christ was walking the earth. There was open rebellion when Christ walked the earth. Hallelujah. There was suicide in Christ's time. Hallelujah. If you would understand your Bible, you recognize guilt and shame, all those things were active in Christ's time. Say, "Pastor, really? Okay, let me help you out." Thomas, after he sold Jesus out, or excuse me, not Thomas, Judas, after Judas sold him out, I was thinking about doubting Thomas, my bad. Judas, as he sold Christ out, couldn't live with the fact that he sold out his Savior, and Judas committed suicide because the guilt was unbearable for him. In those times, I want you to understand, that's why the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. And once you understand that what is happening to you is not new, what you see is not new. As I say all the time, the only difference is it's modernized. It's more modern. Technology is different. Hallelujah. But everything else is the same. Same sin, same formula. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Go to, I got a lot of scripture in my head, so I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I got all these scriptures in my head and only two on this page. It's a scary thing, Ron. Sometimes up here, my sister Tanya is starting to understand what it feels like to be up here. And Holy Spirit's doing one thing. You thought one thing was happening. Go to John for me. Go to the book of John. I have to read John. I'm going to read 1 through 14. John chapter 1. I'm going to read 1 through 14. Are you there? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, New Testament. John 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. This is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just in case you didn't know, Jesus was the Word. And Jesus was the Word, what we say, made flesh. And Jesus, when God sent Jesus down here to be born, where we're born, he sent his Word in earthly form so we could see the Word walking, so we could see the Word moving in action. I need you to understand. So this is what, when God gives you a Word, and when that Word becomes active in your life, then you are operating as the living Word. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to need you to help me with this one. I don't think they're ready, Lord. I don't think they're ready. I think they just thought we were going to talk about him dying on the cross, and then they were going to give a couple of glories, and that was going to be the end of it. No, not today. The same was in the beginning with God. All things. Somebody say all things. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Whoa, stop the bus right now. Stop the bus. I'm going there. Get out of my head, Rod. In him was life. Wait a minute. How many people in here you know that you're living right now? If you can recognize that you're living, that means you're living with a life. And if you have a life, and life was in him, life is him. He is life. He's breathed life, made life. Your life is about him, in him. You're in him. The only reason you have a life is because of him, because he is life. Life was in him. When he breathed into Adam had a life. Before God breathed into Adam had a body. So many of us have a body. But until God blows in us, until God walks into our life, when you say, Lord, come into my life, come into my heart, and he comes in, life is activated in you. Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness will never comprehend light. Darkness will never comprehend light. How many times were we in the darkness intentionally? Oh, you don't want to talk about it on Resurrection Sunday. Oh, this is what, Holy Week still? Listen, how many of us chose the darkness and we didn't comprehend the light? We didn't want to accept the light. That meant we didn't want to comprehend him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light. Stop right there. You need to understand, what is the Bible saying? John the Baptist was not the light. His job was to talk about the light. His job was to talk about the upcoming light. People wanted to know, John, are you the one? And John kept telling them, I'm not the one. I'm not the light, but I need to baptize you so you can get ready for the light. Ooh, calm down. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Underline that word in your Bible, might. Because just because the truth is available don't mean we'll accept the truth. And that's why that word might. Just because we hear about Jesus don't mean we want to receive him. That's why that word might, possibility. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the whole world knew him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. How many of your very own received you not? How many of your very own receive you not right now? We are in sync with him. We are matched with him, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, I need you to understand. Go to John 19 for me. John 19. John chapter 19. Let's skip. I want you to understand there were many things that happened to Jesus on his journey of the persecution of Christ. And this time I'm not going to go into detail about all of the things that happened to Christ on the journey. But everything that happened to him happened for us. Every persecution he took that we might believe. Every beating that Jesus took on his journey to the cross, he took them that we might believe. Every whipping, every slashing that he took, he took, do you hear what I'm saying? He took them that we might, not that we do it. He did it for us even to have an opportunity, a chance to believe. He didn't do it to force us. He did it to give us the option to receive him. The mocking that he took. How they humiliated him. He did it that we might believe. 19:34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. When the soldier pierced the side of Jesus, two things came out, blood and water. There's a significance in what came out of Jesus, the blood and the water. We are healed by his blood. By the blood of Jesus, the stripes of Jesus, the blood that came out of Jesus gave us the opportunity that we might receive him and receive the power of the blood. That was no ordinary blood that came out of him. And water signifies the purity of us being washed. And that our sins can be made, our sins can be made forgiven. Might, Do you recognize the piercing produces the power? The piercing produces the power. And I want to help somebody that you feel like you've been in a time of piercing, a season of piercing, that people have been after you and your mind. And there's been an attack on your mind. And at times you didn't know if you were going to make it. There's been an attack on your body. And at times you didn't know if you were going to make it. I want you to know, because of the piercing produces the power. And once he was pierced and it came out of him, we were able to see what we can receive. We were able, when they pierced his side, what came out of him is what we need today. Without the piercing, we couldn't attain the blood because it was in him. They had to pierce him for it to come out so that we could receive what was in him. He did it so that we might receive him, accept him, acknowledge him, and to say, come into my life. Make me anew. Show me who I really am, because I really don't know. I've been living with a body, but I haven't lived the life that I believe I was created. Have you ever thought there must be more to this than this? Have you ever done something and said, there has to be something greater? Have you ever been allowed by God to do anything you wanted to do and then found out that you're still empty on the inside? Have you ever had a bucket list and say, I want to do all this, and God let you do it, let you do it, for you to find out you are just as empty at the end of that than you were at the beginning? And then God says, now that you've tried everything your flesh wanted you to try, why don't you try me? Because what's on the inside of me is what you really need. God loves us so much that he recognized that he couldn't redeem us the way we needed to be redeemed from heaven. We needed blood. And if God, because God could have, oh, Jesus, I hear you. I hear you, Lord. This is why sometimes I don't even know why he has me to write things on the paper. God could have, if you read your Old Testament, you know, he had everything, frogs coming out of heaven, everything you could think of, he did it. He could have made it rain in blood. And that would have touched everyone. But God is such a good God. And he loves us so much, never to force us to love him. He recognized if he would have allowed it to rain and the blood would have touched everybody and everybody would have had the ability to touch and be touched by his blood. God says, no. I'm going to bring my blood to them and let them come to my blood instead of my blood come, because that way I'll know that they want it, because you could have accidentally been touched by the blood. He wanted it to be intentional. That you recognize the power of the blood. We just talked about it on Wednesday with the woman of the issue of blood. And she crawled to him as she bled, knowing the significance of the power of Jesus. They thought they were killing him. But he knew they were releasing him unto us. Yeah. what was on the inside of him had to come out so we could see the benefits of what we're going to get from what he carries. When you talk about the power of the blood of Jesus, if you would ever stop trying to be your own God, if you would ever stop trying to be your own provider, if you would ever stop trying to be your own healer, if you would ever stop trying to be your own security guard and recognize that you can never protect yourself from you, the way you think, you're going to need him to get in front of you, because so many times we are our own enemy. Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's a significance of being pierced, because once you are pierced, what comes out of you shows what's in you. And sometimes when we get pierced, anger comes out. Sometimes when we get pierced, frustration comes out, bitterness comes out, and we find out, wow, I was hoping there were going to be a lot more love on the inside of me, but the piercing, it produces what's on the inside of you. Stop fighting the piercing. Amen. Let the piercing brings the sinking. Because if you find out once you get pierced that really what's on the inside isn't what you want, now go to the one that has what you need. You find out you're doubting everything. You could be the newest modernized Doubting Thomas. You don't have to be that way. You could be the more modernized Judas and betrayed him many times. We don't want the ending that happened to Judas happen to you. We don't want you feeling so bad about you rejecting him and walking away that you do what he did. No, because there is the ability to have life today. Your life can never be the same again if you choose the one that holds the life on the inside of him. Hallelujah. God is so good that he allowed himself to come down to us and walk in an environment so we could see that it's possible to let the power change things and change us in front of us. Have you ever seen God change you in front of you and it baffled you while you were changing? Have you ever did something and said, oh, my God, this is me? Or, oh, my God, I'm thinking like this. I would have never. Have you ever had a talk with yourself to find out that you don't even know who you are? Because the life of Christ is now in you. The birth experience. When you are reborn again. When you are reborn again. When you are reborn again, what does reborn mean? Saying, Lord, now I have a choice, and I'm asking you to come into my life. Make me who you want. That's the rebirth. That's the new birth. That's the opportunity that you have. That's the free will being activated in your life. Saying, Lord, I didn't have a choice with my first life, so I did some things. I dipped in some things. I hung around some things. I did, but now I have a choice, and now, Lord God, I want the life that you created me to have. The birth experience, and I want to celebrate some rebirths in the name of Jesus. You don't have to live the way you lived if you let the life come into you. Oh, they thought piercing him, beating him, mocking him, putting him on a cross would be the end, but for us, it was the beginning. Without him doing that, we wouldn't have a choice, we wouldn't have an option. We wouldn't be able to be redeemed. When they saw him on the cross, they saw him as an example. When I see him on the cross, I see him as a symbol of redemption, a symbol of humility with all power in his hand. We always want to act so tough, but if we could ever act like Jesus, In the time when he could have showed off and showed out, when they were telling him, if you are who you said you are, get off of this cross and save them. They were mocking him. He had all power in his hand, and he told him, if I wanted to, I could. And that's what we need to understand. He wanted to be able to trust us with all the power that he's given us, but walk with the humility that Jesus did. Knowing we don't have to prove anything to anyone. We don't have to explain anything. We don't have to show off how strong we are, how knowledgeable we are, to walk in humility, because that way he knows he can trust us because we're emulating his son. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I have to read something, and then we'll get ready to end this day. You know, I've never read this before, but this is something that just stood out to me for this one. The birth spirit. There was a prayer that Jesus prayed for himself and his disciples right before his death. And I love this particular prayer. This is right before he was about to get betrayed in the garden. And I want you to understand that that he knew his time was wrapping up. And Jesus loved us so much that instead of him going into solitude, he decided to pray for the ones that he came for. How many of us, when we know we're about to die, we're going to pray for those that we know we're not going to see anymore? Most of us will be trying to get our business together since we know this thing is ending. Go to John 17. This is how much he loves you. John 17. I'm going to read this relatively quickly. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the holy, true God. He's praying for us before he dies. Are you getting this? He is praying for us before the ending of his life. It says in verse number 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Oh, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Did you get that? That's him saying, did you get that? Glorify thou with thy own, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In other words, when I was with you before I came down here on earth, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me out of the world. And thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received them. And I have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, and they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should have taken them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, and that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, and they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I want to close with something that Jesus, one of his last things he did, he covered us in prayer. One of the last things Jesus did, he covered us in prayer. He loved us so much that he covered us in prayer. He wrapped it up on this earth, a covering for us, recognizing it would be a difficult road for us at times, but that we will recognize who we are connected with, knowing we'd be hated at times, misunderstood at times, persecuted at times, but we were sanctified through him, recognized with him. I need you to understand something as I close. When Jesus died and they wrapped him and they carried him and they put him in a tomb, I want you to understand the significance of two things. Number one, Good Friday. I want you to understand the significance of Good Friday. And people say sometimes, I don't understand why they call it Good Friday. Me, I wouldn't call it Good Friday. I would call it Great Friday. Because it was the day that it began. It was the day that it began for me. It was the day that it began for you. It was the day that the enemy thought he won, and it was the day that God showed him he will always be stupid. Sometimes the devil get caught up in his lies so much that he believes them. That's also a pathological liar, and he's a master bluffer, and he believes his lies. And sometimes the devil get caught up in the lies, and he tell him so much he actually believes it's true. And for one stupid moment, the devil actually thought he killed Jesus. How can you kill the one that created you? It began on Good Friday. What I love, while Jesus was on the cross, after all that took place, he had two people, one on each side of him. One looked at him and said, hey, if you really the Son of God, can you get both of us off of this right now? Because I got some business to do. I'm urbanizing it. Then the next one on the left of him said, can you remember me? Jesus looked over to him and said, "You are saved." That person was next to Jesus with sin, and his sin was wiped away because he asked Jesus to remember him. So many times we get caught up in life and we forget who Jesus is. Sometimes we're so close to Jesus, but we're so embarked with our own flesh and thoughts that we disrespect the one that holds all the power in his hand, like the one on his right. When Jesus decided to take his last breath, when he decided to take his last breath, he took his last gasp. When he said it is finished, he took his last gasp. His last gasp is significant with our first breath. Because as he said, when he breathed out, we were able to breathe in what he took. And the significance is that when the life came out of him, it wasn't over, because there were things that needed to be done. And as he left there and he went to go and make sure that all of the keys that belonged to us, he went and took those keys back for us. And he went to a place he never wanted us to go. And he went to a place where we were assigned to go. And he went to a place, and he went to hell, and he went to a place where we were assigned to go. But all of the sin that we did, he went and made sure that he took all of those keys. So he would hold the keys, because God sent him to redeem us from our destiny. And he changed our destiny when he took the keys, because through his blood, we were redeemed. And when they went to the tomb, and the guards thought they were protecting someone, when his spirit left in the body form, and all of a sudden the sheet that wrapped his body was by itself, and the body was gone. Why was the body gone? The guards didn't know the body was gone. Mary's running up to him, and the guards are there, and all of a sudden, they recognize that the tomb had moved. And they went to go look for the body, and they couldn't find what they know was there. The guards are saying, "We were here. We were on post. There was somebody here at all times." God needed that to happen. As Mary is running, and the angel of the Lord came to her and said, "Why are you weeping?" And she said, "You know, we don't know. Where's Jesus?" And he said, "He is not here." We need to understand something. What they tried to do was hold him, but there is no grave. There is no tomb that can hold him, because the tomb and the grave wasn't made for him. And because he removed himself from the tomb, he wanted to let us know that we, like him, are synced and matched unto him. And we were not created for the tomb. We were not created for the grave. And I need you to understand something. The significance and the matching of his death and our birth is to let us know that he was the example to let us know our destiny should not be the tomb. Our destiny should not be the grave, but our destiny should be where he has ascended. He died on the cross so that we would be together again in the spirit realm. He bore the pain so that we could recognize, this is not my home. I want to let you know something. He didn't die on the cross for us to have the best credit rating. Some of y'all are killing yourself trying to get the best credit rating, trying to live in the best neighborhoods, trying to drive the best cars and impress people who really don't care about you anyway. He was not there. And he doesn't want us there either. Some of us, our mind is already thinking about the tomb. It couldn't hold him, and he doesn't want it to hold us. He is risen. He rose from the dead. And he wants you to understand. He wants you to rise from the dead state that you were in. He wants you to rise from the dead mental state that you were in. All things are possible through him that strengthens you. The birth experience, if you have given your life to Christ, old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. They will become new as you let him come into your heart and your mind, if you have not received him as your Lord and Savior. You can get the option of might. You have the opportunity to let him come into your heart, come into your life, and change everything about you. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want Jesus to be the head of your life, if you want Jesus to lead you and guide you, if you want to know him, if you heard things about him and you've never fully embraced him, if you've dibbled and dabbled, if family members went to church and you got a family church and you went there and you slept in the back pew, heard some stories, went to Sunday school, but you've never fully embraced him as your Lord and your Savior, you could have a birth experience today. I'm going to give an invitation. He was on the cross for you. He gave his life that you may have life and have life more abundantly. He didn't die for you to live in the best area, drive the best car, have a checking and savings account, have a 401k. That's worldly things. Yeah, he said you'll be the lender and not the borrower, but those are just benefits of being with him. Those aren't things you need to focus on, because if that's your focus, he is not. Hallelujah. If you want the full birth experience, if you know you need him to come into your heart and to change some things about you, if you want him to be your Savior, I don't care how long you've known him, if you're in the building, if you're here, I want you to stand up right now and just put your hands all the way in the air. Sometimes we lose focus on what's really important. We get so busy doing things, impressing people, when we don't even impress ourselves anymore. God wants to give a real experience. You'll never know who he is until you have a real birthing experience with him. In the mighty name of Jesus, I feel his spirit moving. He wants to fully enter in into every area of our life. if we're willing to give him everything, including our fears, our doubt, our pride, and that broken reputation that you think is better than it really is. I want you to repeat after me. Lord God, take me right now, as I am,
a broken vessel.
And I ask you to restore me, to make me whole as you see fit. Make me into the person.
Make me into the man.
You created me to be.
I give you all my thoughts.
Every insecurity.
Everything that I've been hiding.
Invade me now. Be my Lord.
My Savior.
My healer.
My protector.
My provider.
My resource.
My everything.
My first love and my last.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 You can be seated. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, Father, for rebirth. I thank you for the true birth experience. I thank you for you syncing us with you, aligning us with you, aligning our will with you. We choose, Lord God, from this moment to walk with you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.